Let us pray. His name shall continue as long as the sun, and men shall be blessed in him. All nations shall call him blessed. Lord, the name of the wicked shall rot, but the name of the righteous, Lord, we praise it now in Jesus' name. Amen. We turn to Matthew 1 and verse 21. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. That is the verse I want to look at. Now, St. Bernard said these words. He's quoted by a man called Christopher Sutton. Blessed honey in the mouth, harmony in the ear, melody in the heart is the name of Jesus. Anselm said these words, it is a name of comfort to sinners when they call upon him. Therefore he himself saith, Jesus, be my Jesus. That was what Anselm said. It said in the Old Testament, thy name is as ointment poured forth. It's a name with a fragrance to it. Now, some have dared to die for that name. Just would you? Well, I want to think about the name with you today. I read about a child who died at 6 months old, and his parents had called him Methuselah. Now, they'd got that wrong, hadn't they? And many a child has a name given by the mother or father that reflects something in the family, but children don't always turn out like they're expected to turn out, not by a long, long chalk. So, the Lord Jesus Christ absolutely lived up to his name. Now, what does his name mean? Well, take this first. That name has been revealed to you by God. Every name has a meaning to it. And you alone know what God has revealed to you about this name. So he revealed it to Joseph. This was given to Joseph in a dream before he and Mary were married. Now you may say, well, Mary had already received the name because she'd been told by the angel thou shalt call his name Jesus. But you must remember the Jews were absolutely strict that during their time of betrothal, there was no communication between the man and the woman of any sort. Therefore, the fact that Mary was in the hill country with her cousin far away from Joseph only confirms that Joseph received this name direct from heaven. This is a heavenly name. And it's one that we've got to grasp firmly the meaning of in every way. I want to ask you this. When you learn the name of Jesus, as I'm sure everybody else has here too, who revealed to you the contents of the name? Did books or did other people? I think myself they can only confirm to you what you knew already, that the name Jesus was a very, very precious name. In fact, you will find that Joseph and Mary each received this name given to them direct. Now, how did they get on with the name and learn the meaning properly? Well, when the angel said, thou shalt call his name Jesus, That was what is given in Numbers 13 verse 16 of a man called Hoshea is what it really is, and his name was changed to Joshua by Moses in that verse. So the word Joshua added God is. Hoshea means salvation, but Jehovah is salvation was what was added to it. Therefore, that name enshrines all that the Jewish nation has ever lived for, that Messiah should come and that there should be salvation. Now, it is the deepest faith of Israel, the name Joshua. Now, after the return from Babylon, God wished to enforce that name, so there was a high priest, and you'll find it in Haggai the first verse, and in Zechariah 3 the first verse, you'll find that name, Joshua the high priest. Now, Joshua is God's way of telling the people, Jehovah is salvation. During the 400 years between the Old Testament and the New Testament, and it was a long period, there were many people called Jesus. You remember Ben Sirach, who wrote an apocryphal book which the Jews value very much. Well, that book was written by Ben Sirach, the son of Jesus, the actual name Jesus, which is the Greek form of Joshua. So you get there that Jesus became in as a name between the Testaments. Now, it's a fairly common Jewish name. Josephus, who wrote a history of the Jews, records at least 12 people called by the name of Jesus in that time. Now, in the New Testament, there are one or two very muddling verses with this, and you'd be wise to look this up. Hebrews chapter 4, Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 8. And it says, and it's talking of entering in and failing to do so because of unbelief and the people in the wilderness. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? Now that word Jesus there does not mean Jesus of the Gospels. It means Joshua, written in Greek. I've always thought our translators translated a bit overzealously there. They did it also in Acts, you'll find a verse of the same sort. But Jesus there means the Joshua of the Old Testament, not Jesus Christ. You can learn much from Scripture, and Joseph and Mary did. Now, it strengthened their faith immensely to know the actual meaning of Jesus. Jehovah shall save his people, and it's something that we need to learn from the angel. It's a name that isn't given to the mighty or the rich, but it's given to the poor. Not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God has revealed these things to people who are thought nothing of. And therefore this name belongs to very ordinary people. It was revealed to a village girl and to a village carpenter. It wasn't revealed to the high priest or all the great ones of Israel. Furthermore, when you received the name of Jesus, you had some preparation before. But Joseph and Mary had no preparation. They wouldn't have thought of calling their son Jesus. They wouldn't have been likely they'd have done it. It was received as a Bible name in Greek, and there was a lot of Greek and Aramaic spoken there. Well then, if you're ever to know the meaning of words in the Bible, the best commentary is to look them up in the Bible and find how they're used. A name always has a meaning in the Bible, and God never made mistakes with his words that he called people, and this one is that he shall save his people from their sins. Now, as we've each had that revealed to us, how was it revealed to you, the name of Jesus? Well, the young men shall see visions, and the old men shall dream dreams. Mary was young, Joseph was older, and she received a vision, and he received a dream. And that is how it came. And Isaiah puts it, the name has the glory of the latter days in it. Now, we say Jesus shall reign wherever the sun doth his successive journeys run, his kingdom stretch from shore to shore, till moons shall wax and wane no more. So don't be afraid or ashamed of the word Jesus. Jesus said whoever would confess him, and that means confessing his name before men, him would he confess before his Father and his holy angels in the judgment day. Now, sometimes the word is only used in blasphemy around us. Sometimes it seems that saying it too often is nasty, not helpful. But it's not that at all. This is the name that you will die with on your lips, and this is the name which you will confess forever above. This is the name above all names. There is no name like it in the whole world. What God has said to Joseph and to Mary when he revealed the name was, fear not, Joseph, fear not, to Mary, for thou shalt have a son. And God tells us not to fear the name. That is something we're not to do. That means that we are in some danger of being irreverent with it. But much more in danger of not using it enough. This is the name of which we're most proud. And this is the name given to us to have power over all the spirit world, over all the world around us, above politicians and leaders, above all the great ones of this world. This is the name which isn't magic, but it's something which does great things for us. So we use it. Now, another thing about this name is we are not to be afraid of the Bible. Some people are afraid of the Bible. They miss out areas which they feel don't speak to them. Well, if you meditate and think on those passages, they will bring out great light to you. Because this name, when you look at it, came straight from heaven. The other names Jesus had are very wonderful. Messiah or Christ, the coming one, the anointed one, the Son of God, of his relationship to God. But this name is the name to sinners given. The name, it says, to sinners dear. Now, if there were a better name than Jesus, God would have given it to his Son. But he didn't give him another name. He gave him the name Jesus. You will find many people say, well, they never speak of Jesus unless they say Lord Jesus or Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I have some sympathy, but only some. We are to use the name. That name is given to us. It was given to us from heaven. And it is the name by which we know him. It is a name so full of meaning. The whole of the history of the Jews and the whole of the history of Christ is in it. And it will be the name that goes on as long as the sun and the moon endure. There is no getting away from this name. Now, it's the best of all names because no man knoweth the Father save the Son. And no man knoweth the Son save the Father, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. So if that name is revealed to you, God revealed it to you directly. You may say, well, I don't feel as if I'd had it revealed to me. But there is an inner content to a name, and God has revealed that to you. And all I can do is remind you of what God has already shown you. And that reminder is very much needed. For he shall save his people from their sins. Now, everybody is after a savior. These people in Syria are looking for the United Nations and others to come and save them. These people who were in Libya were looking, and you can go anywhere in the world. None of them are going to get a savior, because all the saviors are tainted. They all have agendas. For instance, at the end of the First World War, Lawrence of Arabia had promised the Arabs who fought for us, in fact they fought their own war for themselves against the Turks, that they would have independence. And when he took them into Syria and they met in Damascus, the object was to have independence. But there was the Sykes-Picot Agreement, or PICO, and that agreement took away independence from them and gave Syria and Iraq and other places to various nations. Now, there's no savior in this world. They all have agendas, and you gradually find out the agenda when you get them there. But we have a name of which it is said that there is no other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. This is the perfect name, the name which has no flaws anywhere in it and no hidden agendas anywhere in it. It's perfectly plain. Now, you look back at this, what was said to Joseph in verse 21. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And it says, now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. So then the name Jesus incorporates the name Emmanuel, God with us. This is a very broad name. So Emmanuel is Jesus. What should we call him? There's always been a problem among Muslims with this, because if you're a missionary to Muslims, you will find they don't know Jesus and they don't like the name, but they know Isa, which is actually a name which they claim came revealed to Muhammad from heaven, and therefore the only name by which he should be known. But if you examine the antecedents of it, as has been done by university professors, it is a name that comes from the Aramaic. That is where you get the name Isa from. And yet Muhammad claimed that it was revealed to him a pure Arabic Quran. That is what he says. Qar means to confess. So that God spoke, the angel Gabriel spoke, Muhammad spoke, and that is, it's a confession of what God said to him. But if God spoke to him a pure Arabic Quran, how is it that it came to be in Aramaic? That is one of the difficulties. We stick to the name of Jesus. And incidentally, we stick to the name God. Allah is not the same as God. Allah has differences. Allah can do whatever he wishes. There is no bar to what he does. Allah is the author of evil as well as good. It's quite clear that he is. Well, God is good, and there isn't, he's light, there's no darkness in him at all. Allah can change his mind, and clearly does. God can never change his mind. He never alters one iota. So for all these reasons, Allah is not God. Although there is no other name for God among Muslims except in Pakistan, where the translations take another name. But in one place they use the word Allah, and that of course gives the Muslims immense hold against the Bible in Pakistan, because once it's used, and they all know it. And you will find that the name Jesus is worth sticking to, however people try and change it. Because when you say that name, you are saying he is the Son of God. You are saying God with us. You are saying he shall save his people from their sins. I went out to the mission field just after another missionary who went out to Aden. And he told me that when he went, there was an Arab whose son he had been teaching in England who went to the train to see him off. But the Arab had said to him when teaching his son, I do not want his mind scratched with your ideas of sin. He said, we don't have those ideas of sin in Islam, and I don't want them taught to my son. And Jesus incorporates the fact that we are sinners. It teaches that he is a savior. Now, what is he a savior from? He's not a savior with a gun. He's not a savior who's revenging us on other people. He's not a saviour who gives us political freedom. Often we're not. And I'll tell you why not. Because by their nature, we Christian people are unfit to rule. You will find God has given the rule of this world to the tares sown among the wheat, to the people who are not Christians. They may outwardly hold some of our views, but the vast majority of the world's rulers are not Christians, nor ever have been. And we have always had to work under a kingdom that is given to Satan, and that he appoints whom he will. And all the pathetic attempts to say that this world can be Christianized are utter foolishness. God has willed this. God has allowed it. Put his people underneath and the others above, so that they're the wise and the mighty and the noble and the great and the honourable and the ones who have the good name. And we have a bad name and are dishonourable and are weak and are poor and are lowly. We do not have the rule of this world. But ultimately, that is so. If people follow the Lord Jesus, they do it by faith. There is nothing here to turn them in the direction of Jesus. He doesn't offer them immediate power. He doesn't offer them immediate freedom of the sort they want. Look what they do with freedom when they get it. Look what this country has done with freedom. I never forget the Bishop of Manchester, the last evangelical bishop, called Knox, at the same time as Ryle he lived, and he said he had noticed travelling round Manchester on the trams and buses that the people, as they became richer, turned away from Christ. And that they very quickly dropped him, because they had got their riches by another route, and that's what they really wanted, and now they'd arrived. And how many so-called evangelicals today really have a smooth run they want off the Lord Jesus, and they want wealth and what this world holds, its entertainments, its power, its prosperity, and above all its comforts. And that is why they follow. And if those things are removed and all they're left with is a bad name, they no longer want it. Now, Jesus is the most reviled name and yet the most honoured name there is. He is reviled by many. The communists in Russia, in their heyday, had a museum totally given over to the tortures done by Jesus. If you talk to a Jew, as I have done, one of them actually showed me a man in a dog collar standing by barbed wire of a Nazi concentration camp. And she said to me, "That's what you did." Now, that's what Jews think of Jesus. They think he is the persecutor of their race, the one who hates them, the one who's done more damage than any other, the one who isn't even to be mentioned by a Jew. They regard Paul as the greatest traitor among the whole Jewish race. And they regard Christians as their outright enemies who persecuted them all through the years and still persecute them. And they revile the name of Jesus. When Jews had classes run among them in the little mountain town where we lived before us, they wrote such blasphemies against the Lord Jesus on the building where they came that the classes were closed in the end, as nobody wanted to see these things which the Jews were saying. There were a couple of thousand Jews in a very small town. There were many Jews in North Africa. And why were they there? Because the Inquisition had chased them out of Spain. They could go into Portugal, but they were made slaves for life if they entered Portugal to escape the Spanish Inquisition, and they fled to North Africa. Some North Africans still have their keys to their houses in Spain and regard them as themselves. It isn't for nothing that you'll find the southern Spaniards have the name St. George as their patron saint. It's because he was known as fighting by them against the Muslims. The fact is this, that the name of Jesus is hated because of the evil things done in that name. And you and I honour it, and we long to teach others to honour it. And in the end, it will be true that the name of Jesus shall be exalted right across the world and right through the universe, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, of things in heaven and things on earth and things under the earth. And every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now, this is the name given to us. But I want to show you how it's given to you. Luther said, it wasn't given to me in connection with my righteousness, but in connection with my sins. And thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now, he saves us, and everyone here, I believe, knows that well, by his death and by his resurrection, by his mighty power against sin. But I want you to note something here. It doesn't say he'll save you from the effect of sin, nor does it say that it's only about the sins you do, but he will save you completely from sin. Now, I do not believe in sinless perfection and have never taught it, but I do believe when we see him, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We shall see Jesus because we are now of the earth, earthly, but then we shall be of heaven, heavenly. We shall have not only a heavenly mind and a heavenly nature, but we shall have said goodbye to sin forevermore. Sin shall not have dominion over you. Ye are not under the law, but under grace. So then, this sin which is troubling us is doomed. Jesus is the name which conquers it, and there is no other name possible to conquer sin. So then, this name is given to you personally for your sins. May the Lord bring that name to full fruition in our lives. Amen.